My guest at this time is Peter Schweitzer, author of the much-discussed Clinton Cash, the untold story of how and why foreign governments and businesses helped make Bill and Hillary rich. You may remember his previous books that rocked Washington, including Extortion and Throw Them All Out. Clinton Cash focuses on the repeated pattern of the State Department taking steps that helped foreign donors to the Clinton Foundation while Hillary Clinton served as Secretary of State. And Peter, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much for having me.
Well, just to get your reaction to some of the latest developments in this story, Bill Clinton, of course, has been in Africa this week, and his explanation for the pattern that you lay out in this book has varied a bit from they did nothing, quote, knowingly inappropriate, unquote, to I just work here and there are different rules for politics than in the rest of life. What do you make of his defense over the past few days?
I think it's really been odd, frankly, because on the one hand, they've said that there's nothing here. But on the other hand, they can't keep talking about the book, can't stop talking about the book, I should say. And I think that's because, really, this is not a book with anonymous sources. There's not hyperbole here. It's just laying out the facts. It's laying the template of the flow of funds to the Clintons over the template of her official actions as Secretary of State. And when you do that, you find this very troubling connection between the two.
Peter, they obviously say it's all political, and we'll talk about the evidence in just a moment here. But they're obviously trying to discredit you. They've got their rapid response team out there. What actual actions over the past few weeks, though, suggest to you most of all that there obviously is fire to this smoke? Some would say the refiling of the taxes. What do you think is the most telling sign that, A, they're taking it seriously, and, B, there's obviously something here?
Well, you've had the refiling of the taxes. You've had their admission that they made mistakes and that they had not disclosed the names of 1,100 contributors. That's directly related to the book and the fact that we disclosed that they had these donors that they had never told people about. And I think also with a barrage of attacks, you know, everything from Twitter attacks given by Clinton associates like Paul Begala to now they've set up a website and an email blast specifically related to the book. So, you know, if they think there's nothing there or the book is a dud, as they've called it, they certainly seem to be taking a lot of actions that show them to be scrambling.
How do you think this likely unfolded, this pattern? Was it likely a wink and a nod and an understanding that if you donated to the foundation or paid President Clinton handsomely for a speech that the State Department would probably grease the works for whatever your concern is? Was it more overt? Were there other people involved? What do we know for sure?
Well, I think it's a classic case of money in politics. And when you give money, you want access and you want a favorable opportunity to get things done for your benefit. What makes the Clinton case particularly audacious is we have laws in the United States that prevent foreign governments, foreign businesses, and individuals from influencing our politics. They can't give campaign contributions. They can't donate to political action committees. There's restrictions on their lobbying. And yet the Clintons have set up this apparatus through the Clinton Foundation and through these so-called speaking fees that I think are more influence payments to Bill Clinton. And these mechanisms are a way around foreign entities being able to influence our politics. So you see the money pouring in and you see the decisions and the actions being taken for the benefit of those who are paying the Clintons.
We're talking with Peter Schweitzer. The book is Clinton Cash. And Peter, one of the things that also stands out in this book is how often the Clintons seem to be just 1 or 2 degrees of separation away from some very unsavory characters like African warlords and so forth. Is that just how you have to do business in some parts of the world, or is that another red flag, the company they're keeping here?
I think it's another red flag. I mean, you've got a guy, for example, like Gilbert Chigori in Nigeria, who has been convicted in Geneva, Switzerland for money laundering and aiding and abetting a criminal enterprise. And what he was basically doing was helping the Nigerian dictator, Abacha, take billions of dollars out of the country and put them into Swiss bank accounts. He's also been, you know, named in a Justice Department report and investigation on bribery charges. So, you know, that's the kind of person they are spending a lot of time with. They are taking money from. And a guy like Gilbert Chigori operates in a political culture like Nigeria that is rife with paying bribes. And the idea that he's going to give a large sum of money for the Clintons and not expect something in return is just patently ridiculous.
Peter, in terms of the current administration, how frustrated are you hearing the Obama administration is about this? They tried to, when they brought her in as Secretary of State, obviously enact full transparency. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee, with then Chairman John Kerry and Dick Lugar, the ranking member at the time, obviously wanted to get all these ducks in a row. And all based on what you're writing here, obviously that didn't happen. So how frustrated are they right now?
Oh, I think they probably are frustrated. And I think the question is, are they going to let sort of party loyalty, meaning, you know, Hillary's a Democrat, Barack Obama's a Democrat, they've got a presidential campaign coming up, are they going to let that supersede the fact that the Clintons flat out lied to them? In this memorandum of understanding, it was very explicit that they were going to reveal all donors. We now know that they didn't do that, that there were millions of dollars from some very, very sensitive deals involving very, very sensitive people that was flowing to the Clinton Foundation. And, you know, if I was Barack Obama, I would be absolutely furious, because this was a condition upon Hillary taking the job as Secretary of State that she would do this. And we now know that almost immediately, overnight, they violated that agreement.
Peter, obviously, when Hillary Clinton was in the Senate for several years from New York, she didn't have the same type of power that she did as Secretary of State. But is there any evidence that this same type of activity was happening on some level at that point?
Yes, absolutely. I've got a chapter in the book involving an Indian nuclear deal where the Indian government wanted access to U.S. civilian nuclear technology. And in 2006, legislation was introduced to that effect. Hillary Clinton was not particularly supportive of that. She, in fact, supported three killer amendments that were designed to undermine that bill. Well, millions of dollars flowed to the Clinton Foundation. Bill Clinton got paid speeches from Indian interests. And by 2008, she had completely reversed course and come out in favor of unrestricted access to U.S. nuclear technology by the Indian government. And one of her close friends and financiers, a guy named Sant Chotwal, won an award from the Indian government in 2010 specifically because he got Hillary Clinton to change her mind. And when he described in interviews what he did, he talks about the fact that getting this bill through cost him millions upon millions of dollars. So it's very much related to her tenure in the Senate as well.
Let's take a look at a couple of arguments that defenders of the Clintons might have. First of all, it's only been about a little over 2 years now, but do we see the same type of State Department action related to Clinton Foundation donations at this point? In other words, does having a former president and now a former Secretary of State heading up their own foundation provide a really good lobbyist, a pair of lobbyists to the State Department that can still help people get what they want? Or do we have pretty much a 4 year period at the State Department where we have this massive series of coincidences and then it pretty much drops off in the beginning of 2013?
Well, I think any time you have a former president or a former Secretary of State that is favorably disposed, that is an avenue to try to influence current policy. And there's no doubt that's being done. I mean, the bottom line is that a lot of the money that the Clintons have raised for their foundation, or that Bill gets paid to do speeches for, are by entities that have concerns before the State Department, and they want action, and they expect action. So the issue of access and money is always there. The problem is when you deal with a circumstance where one spouse is the Secretary of State and the other one is being paid by foreign entities with business before the State Department, then you delve into an area where you're talking about possible criminal conduct. And I would encourage people to look at recent political corruption cases in Virginia, in New Jersey, and in Oregon, where there are similar sorts of charges. And I think the pattern and the evidence in the Clinton case is far more compelling than it was in any of those three.
What about folks who might say this is kind of like political donations? Once you're in office, do you act in a way that makes your donors happy because you agree with them on various issues or because they donated to you? But chances are the reason they donated to you is because they knew you would act in their interest. Obviously, that's not an exact parallel, but does that explain this?
That's certainly an argument that people can make. The problem is that the amount of money we are talking about here is enormous, even compared to political donations. I mean, there are caps on the amount of money you can give to a political candidate. In this instance, we're talking about payments, sometimes tens of millions, even $100 million being given to the Clintons and to their entities. And so the question remains, did that influence her conduct? And there are a number of examples in the book where she publicly espoused one position or supported a piece of legislation. But then when she became Secretary of State, she reversed course. And the question becomes, are these just all coincidences, or in these dozens of instances, is something more afoot? And my point is, I think that you can have a couple of coincidences, but when you talk about this many circumstances, you're talking about a trend, and it demands further investigation.
A couple of quick questions before we let you go, Peter. First of all, the missing Hillary emails, obviously that's been a major story the past couple of months as well. Is there a way to prove this pattern of donations and State Department actions outside of those emails, or is that connection pretty much lost if they really are all gone?
I think the email certainly would help. Anytime you're doing a kind of investigation, somebody with subpoena power would want to look at communications. But that's not the only thing. You know, there are a lot of cases where charges are brought where you don't have a smoking gun in the form of an email that says, I will do this if you pay me that. That certainly was not the case with Governor McDonnell in Virginia, or in the case of Senator Menendez. There was no explicit communication in that way. So the emails are important. And by the way, I believe that the deletions occurred in large part precisely because of these kinds of transactions and communications we're talking about. But they're certainly not necessary to convene a grand jury and to investigate subjects.
What happens from here? How does this investigation continue? What answers do you still want to hear from them?
Well, I think, first of all, there needs to be a discussion with the American people of precisely what went on. And for them to just say, you know, we're fine, there's nothing to see here, you know, call me unfair, but I don't think I am being unfair by saying I don't believe them. They told us they were going to be completely transparent. They obviously haven't been. Now they're telling us they're going to be completely transparent again. I don't believe them. I think that you're seeing in journalistic circles keen interest in these stories. I think they're going to continue to pursue them. And my hope is that somebody with subpoena power, either on Capitol Hill or a prosecutor, is going to convene a grand jury or investigate these matters further.
The Clintons have an interesting way of finding themselves involved in controversies that are fairly complicated. There's lots of tentacles to this story. There are lots of tentacles in something like Whitewater. Monica Lewinsky, the public could pretty much wrap their minds around. So given the fact that there are a lot of moving parts to this story, do you think the public is going to pay a lot of attention, or is the simple fact of pay to play pretty clear enough for folks?
I think it is pretty clear. I think, look, you're talking about some activities and actions that are taking place around the world in exotic places like Kazakhstan. But this is the oldest story in politics. Follow the money. And if you follow the money in this case, you're talking about an amount of money, scale of money that is unprecedented. I mean, we're talking about individuals that have pledged $1 billion to the Clinton Foundation or have sponsored, you know, millions of dollars worth of speeches for Bill Clinton. And to believe that individuals like this are not expecting anything in return or nothing is being done in exchange is just laughable, particularly when you see the pattern. So I think that they are not complex stories in the sense that it is one of the oldest stories in politics, which is pay to play.
Peter, without a doubt, this is the story so far of the 2016 presidential campaign. Thanks very much for bringing it to our attention, and best of luck with the book.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it, Craig.
Absolutely. Peter Schweitzer, author of Clinton Cash, The Untold Story of How and Why Foreign Governments and Businesses Helped Make Bill and Hillary Rich. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.